Good morning, everyone. Glad that you are with us today, and happy Father's Day to all. Just want to share a brief message talking about fathers, and I was asking myself this question throughout this past week, or actually the past month. What do fathers want more than anything else? And I think what fathers want more than anything else is to have a wonderful relationship. Relationship with their family, relationship with wife, relationship with the children, in our case, some cases, grandchildren, but a loving relationship. And it all starts from this relationship that we have with God, and that we belong to a long list, an eternal list of people we have never met. We belong to the family of God, which means we have brothers and sisters that are numerous, whom we have never met, but will meet someday because of Christ Jesus. In fact, Paul says the Holy Spirit talks to, testifies to our own spirit that we are God's children, which means we belong to each other. We are the family of God. So individually, we have our own personal families, but there's so much more to it than that. If we belong to Christ Jesus, we belong to Abraham. We belong to Phoebe. We belong to John. We belong to Mary and Huldah. We're all part of this family of God. Now, we talked a little bit about God's Holy Spirit, that the Godhead is not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. But the Godhead is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And at our most sacramental moment, when we're baptized, the baptizer never says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Bible." We don't say that. We baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Bible is a result of the guiding influence of the Holy Spirit. Scripture comes from the Godhead, comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Let me read to you a passage found in 2 Peter. And it's really a beautiful passage. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Here's what Peter says. "Above everything else, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. But the prophecy never had its origin in human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along," or some translations have "guided by the Holy Spirit." So that Scripture is the Godhead in the sense of it comes from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's not make-believe. The Holy Spirit lives in us. "Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in you?" So for centuries and centuries, before Christ came into the world, people believed that God lived in a temple. So you remember some of the Old Testament stories where there always was this desire to build a temple so that God could dwell there. And even though they knew that God the Father wasn't going to actually sit on a throne, their hope was that one day the Messiah would come and physically sit on this throne in this marvelous temple and kind of rule the world from there. But what we see from Scripture is God making it clear through Jesus Christ that the temple of God is each one of us, where God's Spirit lives in each one of us, the dwelling place of God, which extends throughout the world. In other words, we have a marvelous family of God. What do fathers want? We want our families to be happy. We want our relationships to be wonderful. And there are times when we can kind of get off that path, but the Holy Spirit is always bringing us back. In fact, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit even helps us with our own faith. Listen to what Paul says. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So maybe many of us felt that when we were trying to make a decision as to whether or not we were going to be a baptized believer, that we wrestled with that. And finally, we made the decision that we are going to be a Christian. And I think that's right. But it's the Holy Spirit who was working in us, moving us in that direction. Just as the Holy Spirit is always guiding us closer to God the Father, God the Son, and to one another. And not just one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, but to one another in our own personal families. The Holy Spirit never retires. The Holy Spirit doesn't just do A, B, C, and D, and then says, that's enough, I'm going to move on to someone else. But the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, lives in us. As the Holy Spirit inspired writers to write the scriptures, he inspires us in our relationships. It's wonderful to think on Father's Day how the Holy Spirit helps us individually and collectively. So, for example, in Galatians chapter 5, after Paul lists how even as Christians we can sometimes get off base, he reminds us that the Holy Spirit has fruit attached, that it's a demonstration of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and control. And I've said this before, I don't think there's a period there, like it's an exhaustive list. Paul's always writing lists. I think we could think of more spiritual truths that the Holy Spirit would help us with. But when we demonstrate these things, think about this with me for just a moment. The fruit of the Spirit is, and then he lists them. But he doesn't just list them so we can teach a Bible class or preach a sermon or give good information. But the scripture was written, influenced by the Holy Spirit, so that we may be influenced to live a life of virtue in Christ. And one of the ways that we do this, and one of the things I believe that fathers want more than anything else, is to have relationship with family, with friends, with wives, this way, with love, with joy, with peace, with patience, with kindness, with goodness, with faithfulness, and with self-control. And many of us dads would say, amen to that. And many of us dads would say, but I've never lived up to it. And yet the Holy Spirit is always encouraging us, moving us forward in these wonderful relationships that we can have. So even as the Holy Spirit helps us individually, the Spirit encourages us in our relationships with family and the church, that we belong to the body of Christ and we are never alone. Now, there are a lot of lonely people in our world, and all of us understand loneliness at one time or another. And even if there are people here who live all alone, they live by themselves. Sometimes they get lonely and we don't really maybe have that many relationships with others. We can recall and remember that if you can read the Bible, you are reading about your family. Here is our heritage. Here are people whom we belong to from the beginning of Adam and Eve. And it's true. Yesterday, I did a funeral in Stony Creek for a couple who'd passed away a number of years ago. Their children are all grown. They're from Sunridge, Ontario, good friends, and they had 12 children. That's a lot of children. And one of the things we said was, going back to the beginning, we were talking about family, and I said, seems to me that they fulfilled the first command that God gave to Adam and Eve. Be fruitful and multiply. And they sure did. Well, I say that in jest, and at the same time, yesterday, family gathered. And those 12 children grew, had their own children. Some of those children had grown, and they were there. And so they live all over Canada. And so yesterday at the cemetery, they didn't know how many people were going to show up. The woman who asked me to come and share some thoughts said, I don't know if there's just going to be like 9 of us, 10 of us, two of our brothers have already passed away. I'm not sure how many people are going to show up. 85 people showed up. And there were people who were hugging each other because even though they're brothers and sisters, they hadn't seen each other in years. They belong to a family. One of the things the Holy Spirit does in our lives is encourages us. He encourages us in our own family units, but that we belong to so many more people than just ourselves. And this is called the church. Besides our own individual families, we belong to a body of Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit talks about our own bodies. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You know, we belong to God, but there's also a body of Christ here and a body of Christ worldwide, that we are never alone, and that one day, then when we do get to be with God, we're going to meet all of our family. I was thinking about this the other day. There are great grandparents on Barb's side and on my side that we never met, and I can't wait to meet them. But won't it be great, not only after spending some time looking into the eyes of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, to go for a walk with Adam or Moses, or ask people that we've never really figured them out. Zachariah, you've written some pretty incredible things. I want to spend some time with you. I want to get to know you. Why? Because we're family. We're family. Family is not limited simply to the people we know. However, the encouragement is that we demonstrate love and kindness and goodness to the family we know, and then we have a huge family in the church itself. So if you would, I want to look in Ephesians chapter 3 and notice this passage. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Ephesians 4, 3 through 6. Now, I want to ask you a favor if you'll do this with me. I want you to notice how often the word one is used, one. And then I want you to notice how often the word all is used. One and then all. And here's what Paul says to a church in encouraging them to be one, or a family encouraging them to be one. And here's what he says. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body. There is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all and in all. In other words, we belonged to a family of God even before we knew that we belong to a family of God. God sees us in Him even before we say yes to the Holy Spirit, who encourages us in our most sacramental moment to be baptized into Christ. In other words, God has said yes to us before we ever said yes to Him. And there's the encouragement because of this to be a family that God has always wanted. And that whatever we need to do to make that happen, that we will do. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each one should use whatever gift or whatever talent they have received to serve one another. So let me just kind of wrap up today, talking about fathers and relationships. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. We're not sure if he was ever married. He says, and this one time, you know, when he was writing about being single. But if he was part of the Sanhedrin, he would have had to have been married. So maybe he was married earlier and then something happened to his wife. I don't know. But I think Paul spent most of his life by himself. And he spent a lot of time talking to people and helping them as a body, as a family of Christ. And so we have a lot of those letters, many of those letters. Some we don't have. Maybe down the road, someone will discover more letters of Paul. It's 1 and 2 Corinthians, but most people think there's at least four letters, and we're not even sure that we'll ever find them, but we hope that we will. But in both these letters, Paul talks to the church, not as a church. Yeah, church, but not as a church. He talks to them as family, brothers and sisters, older people, younger people. We belong to each other. He kept talking about the body. They're individual bodies and this large body of Christ, this large family. And he was dealing with all kinds of things that happened in people's lives. And for those of us who have reared children, think of the times that we've sat down with our children and dealt with multiple things that sometimes haven't been easy, talking about finances, sexuality, and all kinds of other things that we just kind of go, I'm not sure I'm qualified to do any of this stuff. Well, that's right. That's part of being family, is just trying to come together and share everything that needs to be shared. And Paul, as a quotation, father of all of these people, he writes to them about everything. And he did talk to them about finances, and he did talk to them about human sexuality, and he did talk about authenticity. And he did talk about the direction of God's Holy Spirit. And he did talk about getting along with one another. And he did talk about whatever it takes to make it work, let's do it. He did talk about that. And he reminded them that they belong to a long family of God. He talked to them about everything. And so at the end of the last letter that he wrote to Corinth, I asked myself this question. What would I say? What would you say if you had written all this stuff? How would you finish? What would be the last thing that you said? And here's what he says. And it's brilliant. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, and may the fellowship, may the relationship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Not just individual, but for everyone. Well, who knew that when you come to church, you're with your family? And who knew that we have more family than we ever did know? And who knows what family will continue to keep coming from our generations to come and to come and to come. Happy Father's Day. And I hope that for all of us fathers, we'll do the best we can in relationships with our wife, with our children, with our grandchildren, and with each other, because we belong to the family of God, and the Holy Spirit is always at work in making us one. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.